Welcome to Knowing Him. This is Steve Danielson.
And this is Angie Danielson.
Join us each week as we explore the hymns of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and share our feelings, insights, and reflections about how each one brings us closer to Jesus Christ.
Enjoy your favorites and find some undiscovered gems in our journey to knowing Him.
Welcome, friends, to today's episode of Knowing Him. I'm your host, Steve Danielson, and I'm here with my loving co-host, Angie.
Hi.
When I saw that we're going to be talking about hymn number 308, Love One Another, I thought of you, Angie. Those that know Angie knows that she is full of love and compassion for other people. I don't know if you know this, but one of my favorite callings that I've ever seen you in was compassionate service leader in the Relief Society, because you were amazing just serving other people.
Thanks.
your compassion and understanding of other people always astounds me. A true disciple of Jesus Christ. So this week's hymn is corresponding to the Come Follow Me reading in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 13. The first of 2 weeks talking about the Last Supper. So Angie, I'm excited to see what you can tell us about this hymn.
Thanks. So our author of the text and composer of the music is the same person.
Yeah, I don't think we've had that yet.
Yeah. So this might be a little shorter.
Let's talk a lot about her.
That's right. So her name was Lewisine Clark Fox. That's an interesting first name.
Lewisine Clark Fox.
I'd never heard before. And she is actually the daughter of J. Reuben Clark,
okay,
who was an apostle and member of the First Presidency for a long time. Between like 1930s and 1960s. So, and her mother's name was Lewisine Annetta Clark. So she named after her mother.
Gotcha.
She was born in 1914 in Washington, D.C. She died in 2002 in Salt Lake City. She had three siblings. Her husband's name was Orville Clyde Fox Sr. And they got married in 1936 and had three children. So Lewisine grew up like loving music, and I guess at some point her father must have been called to go serve in Mexico because she went to high school in Mexico City.
Oh, and, oh, down in Mexico City, so
yeah,
not like the colonies or anything.
Okay. Yeah, Mexico City, and she first got interested in plays in high school there. She went to an American high school in Mexico City. And
I wonder what plays they were doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But when she, I guess in 1939, I'm not sure how old she was in 1939. I can't do the math right now. But she started writing little plays for radio, actually. And probably because her dad was an apostle, she got Richard L. Evans, who was also an apostle and writer and producer of music in the spoken word, and the announcer. So I guess he did the voicing.
Uh-huh.
Got her an audition with KSL Radio. So she had an in that way.
Nice to have the connections.
That's right. So she did a lot of productions with KSL Radio. And I found an interesting interview, Helen B. Gibbons, whose name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure where I've heard that name. But she interviewed Lewisine Clark Fox, I think in 1983 or 84 is what the interview said, about her time at KSL Radio.
Okay.
And it was quite interesting. I found it online in a collection from the University of Utah Library. And I wanted to share some of the things that she talks about. So her first show on KSL was called the Utah Power and Light Show. So it's
was this like a General Electric, like, here we're going to talk about how the power works.
Well, I'll read you this little thing from the interview because it's interesting. Like, it just is nothing like we really know, because TV is not even like that anymore,
right,
you know. But so it says, so she's talking about the show, and she says, Nancy Finch was the commentator on this show. The program was sponsored by Utah Power and Light and advertised their products and services. Let me see here. It would usually... hold on. It would usually feature a dramatic incident introducing one of the items she was advertising, similar to what you find on TV and radio commercials now, using little dramatizations. That was my first radio appearance. I played a part on that show the day after my audition. So they do like these little dramatizations.
Like infomercials, like, have you ever been left out in the dark before? Oh, no, I can't see anything.
I don't know if it even had anything to do with Utah Power and Light or if it was just sponsored by them.
Yeah, well, it said it was like featuring their products
one of
and
their
services.
Products. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so maybe. Yeah.
I need one of these new electric light bulbs.
That's right. And then I thought this was funny, too. So it says that later she was on a show called the Jenny Lee or the Auerbach, that's a hard name to say, Jenny Lee program. So Auerbach's was a department store.
Okay.
In Salt Lake City. My grandma.
I've heard of.
My grandma actually worked for them.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah. So she played Jenny Lee in the Auerbach Jenny Lee program. And let me see what she says about it. It's really funny. She says, I don't know how to describe it. There'd be some little topic I'd talk about that would be of interest to women, the program being aired during the daytime. The commercials would feature the commodities that were on sale at Auerbach's. At the end of the program, there was a special feature called the Bouquet of the Day. Brown Floral sponsored that. In it, we would pay tribute to some woman in the Intermountain West. Listeners would suggest names of outstanding women to us, and write us letters suggesting so-and-so, oh, perhaps a woman who is going to celebrate her 89th birthday or something of the sort, and send us a little sketch of her life. Then on the air, I would give a brief biographical sketch about her, and at the close, I'd read a short poem that I'd written about her to a musical background. Brown Floral would send her a floral tribute. Sometimes it would be a plant or cut flowers or something of that nature, a shrub or something. I thought that was cool.
That's cool.
So she'd do this little show, and she was Jenny Lee on the show. So advertising for Auerbach's department store.
Thanks, Jenny Lee.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. So her biggest show on KSL radio was called Storytelling Time, and she was Miss Anna on Storytelling Time, and this was for kids.
Never actually got to go by her actual name.
That's right.
Well, needed a stage name.
Lewisine was too difficult.
So Miss Anna?
Yeah, she was the author and director of the show, and she either adapted stories that were already around or she made up her own stories. And she'd do this little story time. I think it was about 15-minute show. Mm-hmm. She also was part of the KSL Players and Orchestra, and I thought this was interesting. So they would play classical music, and then the KSL Players would do a little dramatization of the life of the composer. So I thought that was really funny. Like, here's a Tchaikovsky song, and then they'd act out a little thing about Tchaikovsky's life or whatever.
I can't see anything. That's because light bulbs haven't been invented.
It had nothing to do with light bulbs.
Okay.
We've moved on from that show. So, and she said that all of their productions were live. So if
live
they messed
radio,
up,
was, yeah.
They just rolled with it, you know, like that little, she said that little red light went on and your heart started fluttering and you knew you had to get it right. So that was crazy. She said, yeah, they never pre-recorded anything. So
that wasn't really a thing back then.
Yeah. After her kids were born, she didn't do too much radio. Every once in a while, she'd go in and record something. When they went back to school, she started doing something called Sabbath Prelude, which she would actually did. I guess she did record that beforehand, and they'd play it on Sunday mornings.
Mm.
So, and then she only wrote one script for TV, and it was a show about the Nauvoo Bell and the history of bells.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. But she never did much with TV. I thought this was cool, too. She wrote a quote-unquote soap opera about Nauvoo in 1842 for the radio.
A soap opera in Nauvoo. Huh?
That sounds interesting. I want to hear this. And it was something that was written for some radio station that the church had that they would broadcast to other countries outside of the United States. I think Europe and South America. And it was this station they had that actually I think broadcasts out of somewhere back east had a W beginning of the name of the radio station. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, I thought that was great. I want to get a script of that.
Yeah. And I can picture them like on the Temple Bluff, and Heber C. Kimball's up there. He's like, I just don't think we'll be able to finish the temple. And Violet's like, oh, Heber, however will we do it?
Very dramatic. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. So she actually wrote a lot of cantatas and dramatizations for the church, having to do with gospel topics. So
Doesn't our hymn actually come from a cantata?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. So she wrote a Book of Mormon dramatization called Hallowed Journey. She wrote a dramatization for an Aaronic priesthood commemoration called Cry in the Wilderness. And I'm not sure if you can find these anymore, but she wrote cantatas called Christmas Cantata, There Came a Star, and The Morning Breaks. And the cantata that Love One Another is from, which I actually didn't know that it was from anything until I was studying this, was called the Easter Cantata. So she wrote Love One Another for an Easter cantata. And I actually did find that one on Jackman Music.
Yeah, I'm seeing Psalm of Easter come up here on several sites.
And they might be like republished, because I was reading an article from Deseret News in 1999 that said that they were no longer in print. Hmm. So maybe there's been a resurgence or something.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, just doing a search here, it looks like the Psalm of Easter is really the only one that you're going to find much of in print anymore.
Yeah. So in 1958, she was asked to write an Easter cantata for State Conference, and that's where the Psalm of Easter comes from. And Love One Another was written for that cantata. So
Don't get many cantatas in State Conference anymore.
No. Not even in wards very often anymore. So I like the story behind her writing it from our Latter-day Hymns. It says, this is what Lewisine said. It is always my habit to pray before doing any writing or composing. This I did while in the process of working on Psalm of Easter, from which Love One Another is taken. In searching the scriptures, excuse me, I came to the words of the Savior at the Last Supper, wherein he gave his new commandment to love one another. I knew that I had found the theme I wanted. As I jotted down the words in my notebook, taken from John 13, 34 to 35, the melody to accompany them came into my mind, and I wrote it down as well. The final result of words and music was exactly the same as had come to me initially, with no variation whatsoever. It is my witness that whatever is of worth in this song came from the Lord.
That's cool.
So I really like that. She acknowledged that it came from the Lord. And it's cool when that happens. The music just flows. And you know it's not your own. So can you read to us Matthew 13, 34 to 35?
Yeah.
This is our scripture for our song.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
So this was right after Jesus gave the Last Supper to his apostles and gave them this commandment to love each other and to love others. So why do you think simple is better when it comes to this hymn and these words?
Well, because the idea behind it is simple. This is not something that needs to be complicated. It's not love one another, if this, if that, if one or the other. No, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved everyone, and that's how he wants us to love as well. It's not complicated. Yeah. We tend to make things more complicated than it needs to be. And so to have sort of a simple melody with a simple message, I think is a beautiful pairing that works extremely well.
Yeah, it's powerful. So I'll just have you read her words as compared to what you just read in Matthew.
As I have loved you, love one another. This new commandment, love one another. By this shall men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, almost exactly the same, just kind of rephrase
this is
a little bit differently.
Poetic.
Yeah.
Rephrasing.
And this hymn is also found in our children's songbook with sign language you can learn.
Look, I'm doing the sign language right now. Can you see it?
Our kids always have learned that in primary. And I know there's tons of arrangements of this hymn. The Tabernacle Choir has done it, and lots of different people have done arrangements, but just this simple version in the hymn book is the best, you know? I mean, it's powerful.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this one other quote from our Latter-day hymns. It says, Lewisine Clark Fox, who wrote both words and music for Love One Another, always approached her creative work with a serious sense of spiritual dedication. She stated, I have purposely, with very few exceptions, focused my writings, compositions, and artistic endeavors on the church, feeling that there can be no greater fulfillment in the exercise of a God-given talent than to use it in connection with the work of the Lord. I have a strong testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I thought that was really good. You know, she decided maybe after her stint on radio that she wanted to dedicate her writing to the gospel and to all things spiritual. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah. So why do you think that this idea of loving one another should be such a hallmark for disciples of Christ? He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Why is loving other people the way that people will know?
First of all, I think it's hard for a lot of us, you know, as human beings, to love others. And so if we're doing that, it kind of stands out from what other people are doing. I was just listening to something on the radio today that kind of goes along with this, a story about some preacher in some tiny church somewhere that was saying very mean things about people that he doesn't agree with, and saying they should be shot in the head and stuff. And you're just thinking, and you're a preacher that's supposed to be teaching about Jesus Christ, and you want your enemies to be killed, like the people you don't agree with. So anyway, that's just, you know, the irony of it all. You know, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, and people don't seem to be able to get that.
Yeah,
so if you can...
A lot of people have problems with a lot of organized religion because there is a lot of hypocrisy. We preach Christ, we rejoice in Christ, and yet we have a hard time showing that love of Christ.
Yeah.
We are definitely imperfect people here on this earth. But I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus made this such an important statement at the end of his life. He said, if you want people to know that you are a follower of Christ, love one another.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think back to the lawyer that asked, which are the great commandments? And he said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean,
yeah.
On this hangs all the laws and the prophets. If you love God and love your neighbor, everything else falls in place. And it's such a simple concept. And yet so profound.
Yeah.
And so hard.
So hard for us to do.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's so hard, especially to agree with, or not to agree, to love people that don't agree with you.
Yeah.
That have a different viewpoint, have a different lifestyle, do things that are different from what you personally believe, and yet still be able to love them and to show love to them. Not just say, I love you, but to actually show love. And love doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything you say, but it means that I'm not going to want to shoot you in the head.
Yeah. I mean, that is shocking, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
I heard that. I was like, this is shock. This is horrible.
It means that I can still appreciate you. I can still be your friend. I can still want to help you in, you know, I can help you move a piano. I'm always willing to help move pianos. For people that I love, I'm going to help them move. I'll help them weed, whatever they need. I'll help them do stuff, even if I don't necessarily agree with them. And that's not what love is. Love doesn't mean I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, I just think of, like, the all the hypocrisy that was going on in Christ's time, you know, and how he was calling it out. But he was showing this love, which was totally opposite of what, like, a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing.
Yeah.
They were saying that they kept the commandments, but they weren't really showing it by their actions. But he was actually showing it by everything that he did.
Yeah. You know, this hymn holds sort of a special spot for me. This is one of the few hymns that I remember by heart for my mission that I can still sing in Slovak. I can't sing a lot of stuff in Slovak without looking at the words anymore, but this one I still know. Because I sang it to my kids all the time as a lullaby.
Yeah, I was singing it upstairs in Spanish too, and I could still remember all the words in Spanish as well.
And I sang it enough in Slovak where I think you even picked up some of the
words
as we went.
You want to sing it for us in Slovak?
I don't know if I can. So Angie and I have both been sick for the past week and a half or so. See if I can here. Ja vás milujem, milujte sa tiež, prikázanie znie, milujte sa tiež. A tým zapozna ste moji stupenci, ak máte lásku medzi sebou.
Good job.
Can you sing in Spanish?
Yeah. Como se amado, amado otros, un nuevo mandamiento, amado otros. Por esto sabrán que sois discípulos míos, si os amáis unos a otros.
Thanks.
Are you ready to sing it in English?
Yeah, let's sing it in English.
As I have loved you, love one another. This new commandment, love one another. By this shall men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us today as we discuss the hymn, Love One Another. As always, it's a joy to be with you and to discuss the hymns. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at knowinghim@gmail.com or contact us through our website, knowinghim@weebly.com. We'd love to hear from you, what you think about the podcast and about the hymns. In the meantime, I hope you'll join us next week as we sing our way to knowing Him.